The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen Rose, I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What exactly is it that we do, Mr. Anthony Rose?
Give the people!
Uh-oh.
What they want.
We got too much to talk about today. Deshaun Watson wants out of Houston, potentially. We have an update on Kyrie Irving's whereabouts, but not on a basketball court. And we are going to be joined by Michigan Wolverine basketball star Duncan Robinson and sharpshooter for the Heat later on in the show. But we start with what everyone is talking about. No, it's not the Lakers beating the Rockets. It's what James Harden said in the awkward post-game press conference. Let's listen to the beard get weird.
We're just not good enough. You know, we don't obviously chemistry, talent-wise, just everything. And it was clear. I love this city. I literally done everything that I can. The situation is crazy. You know, it's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, yeah, thanks.
Wait, we don't have the talent. We're not good enough. We don't have the chemistry. I literally have done everything I can. Jalen, what do you think about these perplexing comments from James Harden?
So what James is doing, and we probably should have went behind the curtain on this, he's really putting pressure on the Rockets and the Nets based on Kyrie Irving's behavior to actually do a deal. You got to remember, as I keep joking in one ear, as Sean Marks and Steve Nash reach out to Kyrie Irving and can't catch up with him, and they tell KD, that's your man. Well, in the other ear, he does have his man, James Harden, that's already told his team that not only does he want to be traded, but he hoped to be traded to the Brooklyn Nets. And initially, everybody was talking about how well those three may pair together. And I said to you, I don't like all three of them together. But you know what I would like?
What's that?
Harden and KD together.
Reunited,
and so now, if you're the Nets, Jacoby, you have to officially start listening. Here's why. Your star player, for personal reasons, has missed the last few games. He's going to miss the rest of the games this week, and you don't know when he's going to go AWOL again. You don't know. And so based on that math, how many times do you think KD wants to go to a podium, including after tonight's game, and be asked, what's up with Kyrie? Where is he? Why is he not playing? Didn't you guys want to be here? This isn't the behavior of somebody that asked to be here. So James Harden understands that. So now he goes to the podium. He's like, I'm putting it on wax. Like, the city, don't get mad at me. Yo, I love y'all.
I love the city. Love the city.
You know, he don't want to upset Jay Prince, and he don't want to upset Scarface and the Ghetto Boys. So he's like, yo, I love y'all. It ain't y'all. In the locker room, I like y'all, but we ain't good enough because I've had better teams and we've done better. And so I ain't really trying to build with you, John Wall, on the floor. I ain't really trying to watch Christian Woods come into his own. I'm over this situation. And because I'm over this situation, I'm now saying it to the media.
I mean, to me, saying he basically is demanding a trade publicly for the first time, but not exactly doing it. But saying that the problem is talent, I look at this roster like there's plenty of talent on that roster. Saying the problem is chemistry is laughable when you don't even show up. Then all you have to do as the star player is buy in. And then to say you've done everything you can. You haven't scored fewer than 20 points in four straight games since you were wearing a Thunder uniform in 2011-2012. That's not doing everything you can. You're taking one quarter less shots than you used to take. That's not doing everything you can. The offense is normally give James Harden the ball, watch James Harden cook, and then try to get the rebound or shoot the open shot that he creates for you. This is interesting. And Jalen, I'm going to have to say it because I don't like to body shame because I don't, you know, I gained a few during the pandemic too. You know what I mean? I look great with my shirt off. But if you look at James Harden, he doesn't look like he's in playing shape right now. But I have a prediction. If and when he gets traded, he's going to lose 15 pounds. He's going to cut the hair. He's going to trim the beard. Like, he's just trying to do everything to get out of this relationship. You just wait. He's going to do that thing when you get out of a romantic relationship, when all of a sudden you look much better, you dress better, you lose weight, you get in shape. He's going to do that once he gets traded. Jalen, there is one thing that happened during this game I do not want to see overlooked, and that is when me and you really need to break down some video and go to the table. Jalen, by now, all basketball fans have seen LeBron's no-look three from last night, but in the post-game comments, they're saying that it was a bet proposed in the middle of the shooting motion between him and Shooter, which led to him turning around and saying bet as the ball went in. Do you believe that, and does that happen often?
Let me bring you guys behind the curtain as we go to the table. Athletes are extremely competitive, in particular, basketball players. And we just so happen to make millions of dollars to play a kid's game. Mm-hmm. So we bet on everything. It ain't just blackjack or Blu-ray. It ain't just shooting dice. It's everything. It's what Gatorade is Jacoby gonna grab when he walks to the cooler? I bet you $1,000. Like that kind of stuff. And so what ends up happening is LeBron James, they up 30. He's in the GOAT conversation and he's open for three. This happens all of the time. Somebody says, bet 100, bet 500, bet 1,000. When they anticipate that he's about to catch the ball. And that person you can tell is Schroeder because he stands up. And not only does he call a bet, he tries to cover his money by kind of standing in LeBron's shadow a little bit to try to defend him a little bit. Like this is just the crazy psyche that we have. Like, this dude makes multi-millions of dollars a year, but he wanted to win that $100 bet so much that he wanted LeBron James to miss a game, to miss a shot during the game. Look, that's not only what you do for the other team. You can call a bet and sit down. He stood up. So LeBron had to make it. It's like a crossover when you make somebody fall. You gotta make it. And then when you make it, you turn around and you be that dude. You know what that also kind of brought to mind? I guess I should have asked Demetrius about this footage. When Barack Obama was walking through the gym and all of a sudden they threw him the ball and he made a three. He's like, this is what I do.
This is what I do. Well, Jalen, normally playing basketball is what Kyrie Irving does, but that is not what he is doing now. The latest is that the NBA is investigating a video that looked like he was out and about not wearing a mask. Well, what is taking so long to investigate this video? All right, I've seen the video. We all know that was his sister's and potentially his father's birthday party over the weekend. They were breaking the protocols. And if he does end up sitting because of protocol violations, he's going to lose about $410,000 per game. Jalen, how do you see this playing out once the NBA acknowledges that he broke protocol?
That was really professional what you did. Thank you very much. You said the NBA acknowledges. And that's where I've been going the last few days on this program. Remember, I told you, Jacoby, he missed a couple of games, but the Nets didn't fine him. So the league has to sit back and say, okay, Nets, okay, Kyrie, You missed a couple of games and the team didn't find you? So now we gonna step in. Because David Jacoby can go to a birthday party for his kids. And it might be 5 of y'all. It might be 10 of y'all. Y'all might not have on mask. That may or may not violate the protocol. But as an NBA player, they agreed to go home, gym, rinse and repeat. On the road, hotel room, gym, rinse and repeat. That's what everybody signed up for in order not to go in the bubble. When you're photo doing otherwise, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, now Big Brother, the league is gonna come in because you know where the Nets play tonight? Not only yes, in New York, but on ESPN. And guess who's not gonna be playing? Just like he missed the game on TNT. Kyrie Irving. And so therefore, that's gonna cost you. And I hate millionaires giving back to billionaires. And I've been saying for years, I wish that money could stay in Brooklyn. I wish Kyrie and the team could say, this $400,000 goes to this program in Brooklyn. It stays in community. The problem is that does not happen. And now you're gonna unfortunately see him giving money back to the league every time he misses a game based on COVID protocol.
Well, we will see him giving money back to the league, but we also saw him yesterday joining the Zoom call of Tahani Abushi, candidate to be Manhattan District Attorney. Jalen, what do you make of him not showing up to his job, but showing up in the Zoom call of a potential District Attorney in Manhattan?
Irresponsible, unprofessional. And these are the type of things that people can't defend. Like, here's what happens. We all have family, friends, and representatives and teammates. And of course, we're gonna try to defend the person's behavior. And when somebody says personal issues, you wanna take into account that they may be dealing with some anxiety or they may be dealing with some depression. So you wanna make sure that you give them the room that they need. But when your team is playing and paying you almost $30+ million to play basketball, but you're not with your team, but you're on a Zoom for a political candidate, that's when the league is going to start hitting those pockets.
Well, the league will start hitting those pockets soon, and we will soon be joined by Duncan Robinson. And did Michigan basketball play last night? Did Michigan play last night? Oh,
hell
they did.
The
we'll
business,
discuss
baby.
That and much more with Duncan Robinson right after this. Make sure you stay tuned. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen joining us right now is not only an NBA finalist with the Miami Heat last year, star in Williams, but former Michigan Wolverine Duncan Robinson
indeed.
Joins the show. Thank you so much for taking
indeed.
The time. Sharp shooting Duncan Robinson. Now, we're going to get to the Michigan game. We're going to get to your game last night, but we want to talk to you about some of the new news in the NBA regarding the COVID-19 protocols. Let me get this right. You can't give high fives. You can't eat at restaurants. You can't have guests in the hotel room. What is the point of being a young, handsome, famous, athletic millionaire if you can't do any of those things?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a challenge. Everybody's sacrificing, you know, with everything that's going on. So a small sacrifice in the grand scheme of things. At least we still get to play basketball. So trying to keep it all in perspective in that regard.
I'm so happy for you, Duncan, as an undrafted player to come into the game and be one of the best catch and shoot players from range in the league. It's been tremendous to watch your growth and helping lead the team to the NBA Finals last year. But last night, you guys were depleted playing against Philly. The game went into overtime, and as Jacoby mentioned, the COVID protocols. So what was it like going into the game understanding that you guys were going to be shorthanded?
Definitely a challenge. You know, we were stuck in Boston for an extra night, sent 9 guys back to Miami, basically on a whim. We weren't really sure who we were going to have, and ended up being that we just had 8 available. And, you know, it was all hands on deck. You know, everything it took, of course, that's the game that goes to overtime when we only got 8 guys. But I thought we battled. Definitely didn't, you know, back down, but didn't make enough plays down the stretch. So we got another shot at him on Thursday, so we're excited for that.
So when I watch you and your Miami Heat team, I feel a certain kinship with you and Tyler Hero. And I can't put my finger on exactly what that is. Oh, wait, I can. It's because you're white guys from America in the NBA. How is that experience different? How are you treated differently? What does it feel like being sort of a white duo from America in today's NBA?
I feel like we get a lot of love from people that maybe, you know, have looked like us or young kids who want to be NBA players and maybe look up to us in that regard. We also get targeted a lot, particularly on defense. You know, that's something that we learned early and often last year and dealt with a lot in the playoffs. But it certainly challenges you and forces you to grow as well.
Well, the great thing about this program, Duncan, we own things that are cultural or regional, and Jacoby outwardly cheers for you guys. And
absolutely.
He promised
because
to put you guys
white.
Up on the wall if y'all made it to the NBA Finals. So he's you guys' number one fan, and he's going to hold it down. But I got to talk to you about something else. Our Michigan Wolverines played basketball last night. And we went into the game ranked number 7. And we beat the brakes off of Wisconsin last night. We beat the brakes off of Wisconsin last night. So talk about what you see happening in Ann Arbor with our Wolverines.
Man, they're just fun to watch. Juwan has them rolling. No surprise to me. Obviously, I'm sure it's no surprise to you that he just has them firing on all cylinders. They just look like they're having fun, which is my favorite thing just as a fan and obviously an alum of the program, just to see those guys enjoying the moment, playing together, and just making the most of opportunities, even in this strange year that we're all going through. But to see them come together like that and put on a game, particularly like last night, I had the chance to watch some of the highlights. So that was just a lot of fun.
Juwan acknowledges a lot, and rightfully so, but you as a member of the Heat, I call you guys the Miami Mafia. Only leave via death, because you guys and Pat Riley are so very loyal, and Eric Spoelstra is the best coach other than Pop to me in the league. So can you acknowledge to the world when we say an identity and the Miami Heat culture exactly what that means?
It's an everyday thing. It's the pursuit of building habits and just taking every little opportunity to improve seriously. There's no days off with Miami. And even if it's a day of rest and recovery, it's taking that seriously and doing all the right things and checking those boxes. So it's a perfect situation for me. I love where I'm at. I feel like they've helped me so much in my development and allowed me to really grow as both a person and player. So it's been the ultimate blessing just to be a part of this organization.
Now, Duncan, when me and Jay started this show as a podcast 10 years ago, there weren't that many podcasts like this one in the game. But now there's a very crowded podcast market, and you are launching a podcast as well called The Long Shot. What is going to be different about your show, The Long Shot?
I think I'll have a unique perspective in that there's only a handful of podcasts of current players. And just to provide that unique insight into this season, particularly so many just changing things and moving pieces, so many firsts. This is really going to be a year of firsts with everything going on in the pandemic. And also, I think with my story, having the opportunity to really speak to my guests and get in touch with them just in a conversational level and have it be not so much like traditional media interviews, kind of like how you guys do, but really actually have like an intimate conversation. So that's one of the reasons why I'm a huge fan of your program, and we'll definitely take some of the stuff that you guys do and apply it to my show as well.
Thanks a lot, and we appreciate the love. And I'm pretty sure so many people come up to you very often and they ask you, how did your jumper get so wet? Can you, for our audience, talk about the practice, the drills, the time that you've put in to become an elite shooter?
Yeah, there's people ask me that all the time. There's no secret sauce to that thing. You know, the secret is repetitions and work and a lot of hours. You know, for me, I'm a big believer in shooting wise. You got to find something that's comfortable to you and something that you can repeat, and then just rep it out over and over again until it just becomes muscle memory to the highest degree. So, there's no secret. People are always looking for one, but the secret is just in the sweat.
Well, we appreciate you. We'll be rooting for you on the court. We'll be rooting for your podcast, The Long Shot. You're welcome to come back on this show whenever you would like. Thank you so much for joining us, Duncan Robinson.
Appreciate you guys, man. Thanks for having me. Go Blue always.
Go Blue. Hail to the victors.
Battle of the Boroughs tonight at 7:30 on ESPN. It is the Nets against the Knicks coming from world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. And then in the nightcap, we have Zion going out to Staples Center to take on Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers. That starts at 10 p.m. Both those on ESPN. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, James Harden isn't the only superstar upset in Houston. Also, Deshaun Watson. He has sent some cryptic tweets lately, but the one from Texans legend Andre Johnson was not cryptic whatsoever, saying Deshaun got to get out of there. Jalen, what do you think is going to happen between Watson and the Texans?
Andre Johnson was a beast and an OG. When he and D-Hop are calling your franchise career killing, that's troubling. Deshaun Watson is a legit franchise quarterback. If I'm the Texans, I handle him with care. It don't seem like they're doing so.
It is time for Soft Mover Bossman. Jalen, Alvin Kamara put together a package to send some items to the Hall of Fame. And some of those items they requested, but some I don't believe they did. One was the fine letter he got for those cleats right there that he wore on Christmas. Jalen, Soft Mover Boss Move, sending some unrequested items for the Hall of Fame to display.
Definitely a boss move. Like I told you, this man just glides like Gale Sayers, and he has 6 touchdowns. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame, not only for that game, but when his career ends.
Ooh, interesting point. Now, Jalen, I thought this was such a boss move. I did the same thing myself. I packed together some Jalen and Jacoby artifacts, and I'm sending this right to not just the Sports Journalism Hall of Fame, but also the Television Hall of Fame and all the Hall of Fames. We need our flowers before we get canceled.
No
and
doubt.
Here's a reason that we might get canceled, Jalen Rose. I saw that Governor Cuomo of New York State said that he wants to legalize recreational marijuana. If that's the case, I might have to try it for the first time. If it's legal here in New York State, I might have to try it for the first time and to see what all the fuss is about. I might have to experiment, you know, because it's been illegal up until this point. So I have not dabbled or partaken in the cannabis.
Here's what I'll tell you. Be careful with the edibles. They sneak up on you. You be like D-Boy in the chicken coop on Friday.
How do you know? How do you know, Mr. Rose? How do you know, Mr. Rose? We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. on ESPN. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is giving exclusive podcast content to our podcast listeners. Now, Jalen, this story is not big enough or like journalistically confirmed enough for us to talk about the TV show. We can talk about anything on the podcast. And I saw on the internet that there is an account that may or may not be Jim Boylan's burner account. If it's not, it's someone who really is a big fan of how Jim Boylan coached the Bulls. Because every time the Bulls put up a post, there's this one account that just rides for Jim Boylan. Oh, just rides for him so hard. And they said something about Pat when they said, well, if only Jim Boylan was still there to teach this young man some discipline. And every time they lose, they're like, well, if Jim Boylan was there, he would have his team playing harder. And I just can't imagine a world in which I'm Jim Boylan at his age, with all that he's accomplished in his career, that I'm still online using a burner account to sort of just add respect to my name. Because there's no one who's that big of a Jim Boylan fan in Chicago. There's no one. Do you think this is his burner account?
I do not think it's his burner account. I just think it's a troll account. That's all. Somebody that's a Bulls fan, that's frustrated about the team, that continues to do posts. So people like you will take the time and energy to talk about it on this podcast. I would have never even acknowledged it.
I'm going to set up a burner account, and every time someone says something about Jalen Jacoby, I'm going to be like, that Jacoby, he's the real key to this show. You know what? They should just give him his own show, because the key to this show is Jacoby, and Jacoby's the best. Like, the idea that someone would do that for themselves is wild to me.
How about this, fam?
Mm-hmm.
Not to bring up old stuff, but just facts on facts. How about Kevin Durant created a burner account to trash Scottie Brooks and Russell Westbrook?
Good for him.
Just think about that.
good for him. Good for him. Because we all feel, whether it's like you like to say, whether it's 1% or 99%, we all want to respond to the negative stuff that you see on the internet. But most of us just understand that that's not worth your time or your energy. And that's just kind of like putting but giving them the shine that they want by trolling you.
Exactly.
But man, the idea that some people would set up a whole other account and switch to it just to sort of respond. I love the idea that this is Jim Boylan. It kind of can't be. He's got to have like a kid in college or something who's doing this. But man,
it ain't him. It's somebody that's not even a Jim Boylan fan. They're a Bulls fan. They're just trolling the team.
They're trying to get people mad. Make people mad.
They're just trolling the team.
They say that an Urban Meyer Jacksonville Jaguars decision is expected this week, but we already know decisions made. He was the head coach of the Jaguars like 2 weeks ago. They're already talking about him putting a staff together. They've got all this cap that they're going to let him use. Do you think Urban Meyer will be successful in the NFL?
I feel like I say this now because statute of limitations. There's a period of time where Urban Meyer was working for ESPN, putting together his staff at Ohio State. And he didn't acknowledge that he was going back publicly. I knew that. So many people off wax knew that. In the first year, it's no accident that they were undefeated. Because he spent that entire year putting together his squad, putting together his coaching staff, putting together his game plan. I was working with him. I saw him doing it. I talked to him about it.
Good for him.
So I feel the liberty that I can now say this publicly. I knew this was happening. And after coming from Florida, a lot of people publicly were still speculating whether he was going to come back into the game. And so it was funny to me knowing that not only was he coming back to Ohio State, but he had already started hiring people. That's the same thing he's doing with Jacksonville now. The owner, Khan, have you seen Jacksonville interview anybody else?
I'm sure they have. Rooney Rule and all that. I'm sure they have. They kind of have to do the song and dance, but it was Zoom. Like they flew Urban out. They did a Zoom with everybody else. I'm sure that's how it went. But this has been done for a while.
But you know what? I got to say something that may not be popular, but it's all facts. If I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, I am not paying $7 to $10 million for a coach that's pushing 70 on a team that had the worst record in the NFL. I'm not doing
that. Well, doesn't count against the cap.
Well, how about this?
Khan has all the money.
Well, let me finish. So here's why I say. And this is what actually upsets me. And I'm glad you went there. There's no cap. Instead of investing it in somebody that's standing on the sideline, why don't you invest it in people that's going to play? Like Jalen Ramsey. Remember he was on their team? Mm-hmm. Instead of paying a coach, maybe you should pay him. What about that?
Well, I'll say that the coach doesn't count against the cap, so you can kind of pay him whatever. Khan's got all the money in the world, and this is an attractive gig. You're going to get Trevor Lawrence, so you're going to get what a pretty sure shot at a franchise quarterback, whether he lives up to expectations or whether he becomes a middle-of-the-road NFL quarterback, yet to be seen, but expectations are very high for him, so you're going to have that quarterback piece. You've got Urban Meyer. You're going to sort of reset the whole thing. You've got cap space to build around Trevor Lawrence and to shore up the defense. I think this is going to be a big turnaround for the Jaguars.
Okay.
I really do.
All right. How about this? I want to remind football fans of something. The Carolina Panthers had a new coach this year. 98% of people don't know his name.
Matt
Rule. He makes more money than every coach in the NFL. He got a $70+ million contract. So you mean to tell me you're about to bring in Urban Meyer and give him $70 to $100 million? How's that working for the Raiders and John Gruden?
It worked for like eight weeks.
How's that working out?
And then
invest in the players. Get players. I know you're going to have Trevor Lawrence, but guess what? Who are you going to hand the ball off to?
They'll figure it out.
Okay.
They'll figure it out.
So why they figure? Let me tell you something. Urban Meyer, how about this? The Lions is going to win more playoff games than Urban Meyer as a head coach over these next few years. Let's bet that.
Well, first of all, me and you make lots of bets that we never pay off or pay attention to. So sure, I'll take that. I'll take that one. If I bet against the Lions to win playoff games, like whatever it is, whatever the odds are, whatever the stakes are, we don't have to talk about it because that, I feel very safe in that fact. Now, Jalen, this news story came across one of our great producers, Andrea, and I love this. I love this headline, right? One of the young Nickelodeon stars accidentally given Tony Romo's 800-page game notes package ahead of the broadcast. Now, Jalen, I just want to know, if you were doing a game, an NBA game, and someone handed you an 800-page research packet, what would you do with it?
Well, that's not going to get used.
I know.
You're wasting a lot of paper. And I don't want that person to waste a lot of their personal time. And yeah, I know just putting 800 sheets of paper together takes time.
That takes 5 minutes itself. To write all that information down, to research all that, that's like a full week. That's like a month that they've been building that together.
But can I say something like for real? And Tony Romo's done an amazing job. He's done an amazing job as a commentator. But can people like you stop putting him in the Hall of Fame already? Like, he only been doing this like 3 years. People act like he's like the seasoned vet and the greatest of all time, and he's not.
When you say people like me, what do you mean? Because I know you don't mean people like me.
Well, I'll just be frank. I'm going to be frank. When it's time for white people to get paid in this industry.
Okay, now we're being real.
When it's time for white people to get paid in this industry. Tony Romo, for example, during a pandemic, it's not like, well, you know, the network should consider this. What they do, and they say, well, the NFL makes this much money, so therefore they got it. Hey, let's give Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers all of this money, because look at how much money the NFL is giving the network. Guess what they've never said about Jalen Rose? And I've been doing this for damn near 20 years. The NBA pays ESPN this much money, so therefore they got the money to pay Jalen.
Well, or somebody we pay the like NBA. Me. We pay the NBA. But Jalen, you know what we always say? Stay low, keep firing. Stay low, keep firing. Stay low, keep firing. You know?
Absolutely.
That's my advice for you, Mr. Rose.
Keep firing. And by the way, Tony Romo has done a really good job of...
He's good.
In his second career. But tell the truth, when people talk about him, they be talking about him like he's been doing this 5 years. And he hasn't.
No, he had a hot start. Like, he had first five games, he, like, guessed six plays. And then all of a sudden, like, did you see him? He guessed the plays. Like, he's a former quarterback. He was in the league, like, 6 months ago. He can guess the play based on formations.
I got to tell you a secret. And this would let me know that people don't know the game. And they also were just looking for a reason to pump him up. If you and I go to a team shoot around and I see their sets, when their guard or their forward or whoever is dribbling the ball up the floor, I could tell you a play they're about to run. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just that's unethical to do.
Oh, I disagree there. Well, we can talk about Tony Romo calling games another time. Duncan, I always say that you can be mean if you're funny, okay? Now, during the NBA Finals, a lot of people that are casual fans of the game were sort of getting introduced to you, and the Lakers reportedly called you Jimmy Neutron. It was mean, but you got to admit it was kind of funny. Did that hurt your feelings, or did you think it was funny?
No. Didn't hurt my feelings. You know, I noticed the comments were coming from the bench area anyway, so I can only hear them when I was on the court. So if they're on the bench and I'm on the court, then, you know, got to do what you got to do.
I like what you did there. Sounds like a guy that has a podcast coming soon, The Long Shot. Congratulations. Everybody get out there and support my fellow Michigan Wolverine. We've seen a couple of current athletes, J.J. Redick, C.J. McCollum, come to mind with podcasts. But I promise you, Dunk is going to give you guys a unique perspective. And when I watch you guys' games, of course you're a shooter. But I've been watching you intimately for years. And it kind of frustrates me when I hear that term attributed to you, because you're actually more than that. I watch you play, Duncan, So does that frustrate you sometime that people just label you a shooter?
First off, I appreciate that. I appreciate the acknowledgement of that. Not really. I'm so used to it at this point. It's kind of just what I've learned to expect. I personally feel like I'm capable and do more, but as long as the people close to me and the coaching staff, people that are subbing me in and out of the games, know that, then I'm fine.
Now, not only are you a shooter and a great playmaker and a defender, you're also cutting too much. Like, I don't want to cover you. You're like the hardest cover in the NBA. It's constantly moving around. Ball's not even over half court. You've already come off of two screens. Do you treat those kind of like body blows against a defender? Like, I'm just going to tire him out. Like, I'm going to use my stamina to slow you down over the course of the game.
Absolutely. I feel like that's where my advantage is. Certainly not in my athleticism or my quickness. So I need to lean into the just conditioning and stamina and just run them all over the court, particularly, in transition and in the half court. Just have to make them, go through multiple efforts to the point where I can finally free myself and get open for a good look.
Jacoby, what's sneaky about Duncan, though? Usually guys that shoot like him isn't as tall as he is. Like, he's a lot taller than people realize that he is. And so in practice, that means you get a chance to go against Jimmy Butler a lot. What is it like to play against him in practice?
Jimmy is great to have in practice just because of the competitiveness he brings every single day. The fire that you guys all see, maybe in the finals or at points, so far this year, he's missed a little bit of time, but we see that literally every single day in practice. There's no bad days with Jimmy. He's the same thing every single day. So it helps us. We talk all the time about iron sharpening iron, and when he brings it in practice, it allows opportunities for, guys like myself to be challenged on both ends. I have to guard him, and then I also have to get open with him guarding me. So it's a great challenge.
Well, you've got Jimmy brings some toughness to the Miami Heat, but I'm watching the games. I noticed something else. Is that tough juice? Wait a second. Is that tough juice, Caron Butler, in part of the coaching staff? What's he bring to the team?
CB is awesome, man. I grew up a huge fan of his, and to have him as a mentor now and on our staff, he just has a wealth of basketball knowledge, 17,000 points or whatever he scored in this league. So he's seen everything. And, just me in my third year to be able to lean on him and just get advice in every area, obviously basketball, but off the court, he knows what comes with, playing in this league. So super, super fortunate to have him on staff this year. He's been a great addition for sure.
And Duncan, I want to thank you because it was some tough years rooting for my Michigan Wolverines. And then all of a sudden we got John Beilein. And you guys start balling in college, got us going to championship games, putting players in the pros. What is it like now to see a former Miami Heat player, my brother Juwan Howard, now coaching your Michigan Wolverines? Because I know the same love that's in Ann Arbor for Juwan also exists with the Miami Heat.
Yeah, it just makes me proud to be an alum. And I was super fortunate my first year in Miami to develop a relationship with Juwan. Obviously, like yourself, he's a cultural icon in the world of basketball, but especially in Ann Arbor. So to see him come back and be embraced the way he's been embraced and to see the success that he's had, it's been no surprise to me. I imagine it's no surprise to you just because I've gotten to know the person and coach that he is. But it's just a ton of fun to watch and a ton of fun to support and root for.
Well, Duncan, we're going to say goodbye now and make sure you check out Duncan's podcast, The Long Shot. But I also want to say this is people always talk about your story and people always call you a shooter and people talk about you being white. But let me say this. You got game above all of that. Above all that, you earned all this
You
got game and you're an NBA finalist.
You
congratulations to you. You're welcome to come back anytime.
Thank you, man. Thank you very much. Appreciate you guys having me.
No doubt.
Jalen, we always say we get the people what they want. Part of that is the podcast exclusive. Part of that is having guests on and doing podcast exclusive with them. But a main part of that is listening to our people. We need you listening to this podcast right now to help this podcast. Call 985-80-JALEN.
For the listeners.
We want to hear from you. We want you to be part of the show. Jalen and Jacoby and our podcast listeners, that's who makes this show happen. So we open up our phone lines, 985-80-JALEN. Take voicemails from you. Put them on the show just like this. See if this one gives Reggie a shout out.
What's up, Jalen? What's up, Jacoby? This is Slick Rick, straight out of Detroit, West Side, 7 Mile that is, Mumford High School graduate. Quick question for Jay Rose. He was always my idol as a kid. Always thought you were a basketball guy. When you were young, did your letterman say something like silky smooth on the back? I remember being a kid and my dad taking me somewhere watching you hoop. And I'm like, man, that's Jay Rose. But anyway, shout out Reg the Ledge. Keep it up. Big fan. Day one. And Cultural Regional, naming your child after a prominent figure. My son's name is Kobe Ermias. That's after Kobe Bryant and then the late, great Nipsey Hussle. Shout out to you guys. Keep up the good work. Detroit, stand up. I'm out. Slick Rick.
Double barrel question from Slick Rick in Detroit. So, Jalen, the first one is obviously for you. You have a letterman that said silky smooth on it. You look around like you don't remember.
So here's actually what happened. So I'm trying to think of his name. Antoine Jobert had I think it was his cousin. His name was John Jobert. I hate that I'm butchering his name. But for make a long story short, Antoine Jobert is one of the greatest high school players of all time, Jacoby. Like, he was Steph Curry in high school. He was a guy that I went to see play. And shout out to Slick Rick the Ruler. What up, though, 7 Mile? Stand up, Mumford. I grew up on Puritan and Appaline. We rep the 76. I got to have my guy Boldy James come on the show. I know you listening to Boldy. Anyway, Antoine Jobert was the guy, when he came to Southwestern, was like 30 minutes away from where I grew up. So to get there, I had to catch 2 buses. But in order to see Antoine Jobert play and Anderson Hunt play for Southwestern, I only could see him when they came to the West Side. You know, I'm a basketball player. These are legends. So when they come to play at Mumford, I went to the game. When they came to play at Cooley, I went to the game. When they came to play at Henry Ford, I was at the game. And I believe his name is John Jobert. That was his name, Silky Smooth. So I was actually wearing somebody else's jacket. So this dude, Slick Rick, like, for him to remember that is crazy, dog. My nickname at high school, given to me by Tony Jones, who also coached Nunn, who plays for the Heat, who also coached Tobias Harris, who also coached Howard Eisley and Vashawn Leonard. At first, I was Slow Motion. That used to be my nickname at first, Slow Motion. And then it started to be The Natural.
Ooh, that's better. That's a compliment.
And so on the floor, my nickname was The Natural. And that's what they called me in basketball lingo, like whatever, whatever, whatever. But off the floor, my nickname was Jinx, because I used to always predict things to happen to people and they would actually take place. And then there was a great rapper, my brother named Ice Cube, who came out. And then when he left the group, his DJ was Sir Jinx. So on the floor, I was The Natural. Off the floor, I was Sir Jinx. But I want to get back and say something to Slick Rick. It's 1,000,000% a boss move to name your son and or daughter after public figures or celebrity. Look at the name Jalen.
I know, that's what I was about to say. How many Shaquilles and Jalens we got out there?
But how about this? I'm glad he went there. I love that he combined Kobe Bryant and Nipsey Hussle's names. That is dope. It's one thing to have a name, like for real, for real. It's another thing to have a dope name. And I always felt like people saw Nip and just assumed that his real name was like a Black American name until you hear more about his culture and hear more about his background. And so you combining Kobe and Nipsey names are not only legendary, rest in peace to both of the gods, but also it's just flat out dope.
Absolutely. Big shout to Slick Rick. Slick Rick, call back. We need more questions from you. But I'm also directly answering one of his questions. I would say that there are people who look like me that do name their kids after celebrities, but they're just less of us. So it's not truly cultural, but like it's majority cultural. It's majority cultural. I know you've met a few. How many white Jalens have you met in your life? Like what percent are white Jalens? I'm not saying there's not white Jalens. There's Jalens are everywhere. White, black, every culture, every gender, every everything, every age. But like what percentage of Jalens that you meet or say, oh, I named my son Jalen or my daughter Jalen are white people?
Well, Jalen not a good example, but Shaquille is a better example. There are no white Denzels or Shaquilles.
No, there's not. There's not. There's not.
That's a better example. There are no white Shaquilles. There are no white Denzels. All of them are black men. Now, Jalen is girls, multicultural, multi-ethnicities. And so, again, it's humbling when people acknowledge that they respect it and or heard your name and they wanted to name their child after you. I'm not great like Kobe Bryant or Shaq or Denzel. But you know what I have? The love of the people. And that's invaluable. And I'm forever grateful.
Yes, you do. Don't forget to call 985-80-JALEN and leave a voicemail. We have time for one more voicemail today. Let's hear it.
That's crazy he remembered that jacket. That was dope.
Sounds like a dope jacket.
What's up, guys? Shout out to Regilis. Reg, you got me rolling with those sound effects. That Kawhi laugh, I'm not going to be able to do it. It's rolling. Hey, this is Tyler from Phoenix. Got a question mostly for Jalen. I've got two kids that look like Jalen. One that looks like Jacoby. My wife and I look like Jacoby. And my oldest, who looks like Jalen, he's fly. He likes to dress nice. He's 6 years old. And he would wear a suit and tie every day if I let that young man. So here's my question. I'm at a crossroads. Do I get him more nice clothes like that? I'm talking suit and tie to school. Or do I try and keep it more casual? I don't want him to be the weird black kid. You know what I'm saying? It's nice cultural help here. Appreciate it, guys. Love what you do.
Jalen, I feel like you're best suited to answer this question.
I got you. Thank you for the call. Appreciate the shout. Always make sure if you want to get your voicemail played, you give love to Reg the Ledge. This conversation is extremely important to me, Jacoby. Extremely.
Really?
Extremely. Because you know how much I know on this show, people don't realize that I actually care about my fashion, but I do. And one of the things I want to point out is it's a sense of pride, in particular for people that look like me, because if you remember our heritage and how we started being enslaved. And initially, we had no choice but to be in locks and chains. So therefore, now when we get money, we're gonna rock chains on chains, on chains, on chains, bracelets, on watches, on bling bling. And so if you have a young man that's 6 years old and wanna dress fly in suits, in blazers, in collared shirts, in ties, you don't dress them down. You dress them up. You better get them some brooches. You better get them some flowers. You better get them some tie clips. You gotta do all of that. Because just think about this. Right now during the pandemic, most of us go 95% of the day and never truly get dressed. Right? Never truly get dressed. Everything's closed. Can't really go to the movies, can't really go to a game, can't really go to a restaurant, can't go out really unless you're in Tuscaloosa. So it's like we're never really getting dressed, right? If you have a young man that's fashion conscious right now at 6 years old, let me tell you something. He's going to be successful in life.
He might have been older than six. That's what I'm saying. He might have been older than six, but he said it was his oldest kid. But I'm not sure if he said six. Okay. But regardless of the age, everything still applies.
You double down on that. You triple down. You invest in him being clean. Cleaner than a board of health. And I promise you, he's going to make a career that's successful And part of that is the pride in how he looks on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
That's love.
See, I'm glad you used the word pride, because I would say that if you force a child to wear a suit and tie when no one else in the whole school wears a suit and tie, then he's not going to stick his chest out when people try to clown him. But he's making this decision on his own, so he's confident in his decision. Sure, he's going to get – people are going to poke fun of him, whether it's his best friends or people that are trying to bully and put him down. He's going to get – it's going to get mentioned when you wear a suit and tie as a child to school. But the idea that he's making this decision and you'll prepare him for that, which I love this kid. Can we get this kid an internship at J&J?
Exactly.
I just sight unseen. I love this kid. He's like, I'm not voluntarily here at school. This is a job. This is business. Let me dress for business. I love this kid so much. Big shout out to this kid. Let us know how it goes. Tyler, I want to thank.
By the way, you ready for this?
Is there...
Maybe we should start bringing that kid on the show and have him as an intern, because he sounds like the next black president.
The internships at the Disney Corporation are much more convoluted and complicated than that, as you know. But I do want that kid to call 9580 Jalen, leave us a voicemail. And I want to thank Duncan Robinson for coming through the show. And Jalen, I want to thank you for everything that you do, not just for the show, but for society. We will be back tomorrow. Why is that? Jalen Anthony Rose.
Sending prayers up to my mother, Jeannie Rose, who just got the tube removed from her brain and from ICU to an actual hospital room. Going to check on her right now. Thank you for all of the prayers and the blessings. We'll be back tomorrow. We're not done. We're not done. We're not done. Got to give the people.